For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Now, you may have heard the U.S. Justice Department is suing Yale University for discriminating against Asian and white students in its college admissions process. The lawsuit, filed about 2 weeks ago, accuses Yale of violating federal civil rights law by making admission decisions based on a candidate's race. Well, today's Washington Post features an op-ed by the first black man to serve as Yale student body president. His name is Khalil Green. He disagrees with the lawsuit, and he joins us now on the program. Khalil, why is the Justice Department wrong?
Yeah, the Justice Department's wrong because it's basing all of its claims off of, as Yale called it, a hasty review process. And it's basically overstating how much race is used in the admissions process at Yale, because race is actually one of a lot of different markers and information data points that Yale uses when admitting students. And it is a very important one because it's a part of students' identity. But the Department of Justice is making false claims about how much it's used and the discrimination that it causes.
How did the op-ed in the Washington Post come to happen?
So after the Department of Justice sued Yale, which was, like you said, about 2 weeks ago, it was a huge announcement on campus. A lot of people were talking about it. And I had uniquely not much work to do that night. So I just wrote this op-ed with my thoughts, kind of talking to a lot of students, doing my own research, because as we know, the Department of Justice threatened to sue Yale back in August. This is something that was on our radar already. But from there, it was just putting down all of these thoughts that we already had onto paper and then submitting it to the Washington Post right after that.
Why the Washington Post and not another newspaper?
Well, the Washington Post deals with a lot of government just by nature of the location of where it's published. I'm also from right outside of Washington, D.C., so I thought it would be a good forum to get to the people that would probably be most impacted by seeing it.
Now, the Department of Justice says their investigation found that Asian American and white students have, I think they said, 1/10 to 1/4 the likelihood of admission as African Americans with these same credentials. In your research, did you find that to be true? And if so, why is that fair?
Yeah, so I say that the process that they use to get to that claim is kind of faulty, right? Because you can't ever say that two individuals are exactly the same except for their race, right? Like, even amongst there's so many different data points that go into admissions. Let's say an essay that's 1,000 words. Each one of those words is different. Each message, each communication, each story is so different that having some sort of assertion that these people are exactly the same except for their race, and that's the exact reason that they're getting admitted, is just completely unreasonable and really just misaligned with how admissions works and the long, lengthy, holistic process that Yale admissions uses. So I just disagree with those claims. And I think those will be properly litigated in the courts by Yale against the DOJ.
When you hear the idea that somehow African Americans are getting preferential treatment to the harm of white and Asian American students, how does the student body, your friends, you people you talk with, how do you all jibe that idea with the idea of legacy admissions? People who may or may not have the credentials, but whose daddy and granddaddy went to that school?
Yeah, I think this is a conversation that came up a lot, especially, I want to say it was 2 years ago or a year ago when the whole Operation Varsity Blues came out, where there was proven that celebrities were paying their way to get their children in. And of course, legacy isn't that scandalous, but it is a similar method of using wealth and status to get your child into Yale or as a part of their application process. And I think in these conversations, it's always seen as pretty hypocritical that those institutions are never attacked. But I think it just shows the hypocrisy and that these institutions that support Black and brown students, other students of color, specifically from underrepresented backgrounds, are commonly attacked. And it just shows the bias and the kind of discrimination that's actually happening at the level of the government in this case.
What type of sort of support and or reaction have you gotten from the Yale administration?
So I haven't heard from them just yet, because one thing, I published it this morning, or it came out this morning, so we'll see. But a few of my professors I did send it to early on were really supportive. I mean, students, of course, if you look on social media, are reposting it, not just from Yale, but from other schools as well. So that's really, really exciting, and I think I'm getting a lot of support. I've yet to see really any sort of negativity in response to the op-ed. So I think it just goes to show that I was able to communicate a lot of thoughts that students are having around this topic.
It seemed from your op-ed that far from doing too much to diversify Yale, you seem to think in the op-ed that Yale administrators are doing too little. Is that an accurate assessment of your thoughts?
I think it would be accurate. I think I would probably nuance it and say that maybe not that they're doing too little, but like the outcome is too little, because we still see a lot of issues, no matter what solutions we try to do. There are a lot of issues that are still there at Yale. I think like a telling sign is that I want to say the YCC in its current iteration, which is our student government, was like founded in 1970s. And the student government, I think, has been a part of Yale since 1884. And then Yale as a whole has been out there for like 319 years, and seeing that there's like such a lack of diversity in terms of leadership on campus is a problem, and I feel like that's something that we need to address. But when we have to fight for things as simple and foundational as race-conscious admissions, it just impedes that process and makes everything so much harder in terms of moving towards a more equitable and diverse campus.
How have you found the climate for Black and Brown people on Yale's campus? And I ask you that question, having come from the experience of being a Black person on a majority white campus, and I got a few questions. I got questions of, are you here on scholarship? Questions basically probing whether or not I belong there or not, whether I got there on merit or not. Did you experience any of that? What is the climate?
Yeah, I say so. It had problems. I don't think they're that explicit. I think Yale is a very progressive school. I think just our generation, Generation Z, is just a very progressive set of like people, very progressive generation. So stuff like that, I think we've been able to identify. Most people label those as like microaggressions. They'd be aware of not only why they shouldn't do it, but why it's important to speak up against it in the cases where it does happen. So I haven't felt it in that way. But I think like I said, like having a lack of diverse faculty, lack of diverse role models, having curriculums that are very much like geared towards a canon that elevates European historians, having places on campus that are still named after like slave owners, and people like Eli Whitney, who was a Yale graduate, but who also invented the cotton gin, which, as you know, like catalyzed like the slave trade and the profits from that. I think all of those things that are very built into the institution still affect students on campus today. But overall, at least in my experience, on a student-to-student level, like interpersonally, it has been a positive experience for the most part. But there have been like on and off things where, let's say, like someone might say the N-word like in a song at a party, or wear like an offensive, I guess, like costume or something, where like you have to kind of call that out, but it's not insanely detrimental to anyone's like experience at Yale.
Well, you were talking about Eli Whitney and people like that. I mean, heck, the institution Yale is named after Elihu Yale, one of the most ruthless and pernicious slave traders in history.
Exactly. Yeah. And he was globally known too. I think he had a lot of profits and profiting in India off of colonization there. So once again, everyone pretty much that started at Yale pre-1890 had some sort of like horrible history, and a lot of them thereafter as well.
I'll end with this. I mean, your tenure as student body president ran from May of 2019 to September of this year. I read the last line of your op-ed. It said, "My fellow students and I refuse to let that happen." And by that, I took that as, what you refuse to let happen will be the reversal of progress that Yale has made toward a more racially equitable campus.
Exactly.
What role will you and other students play in this drama going forward, do you think?
I mean, it's pretty much up to whatever I think our guidance is from certain individuals or organizations that are either coming to Yale's defense or currently working with Yale or researching. I think just right now, a lot of what we're doing is publicizing and bringing awareness, which I think was the number one thing that I hope to do with my op-ed, just bring awareness to the issue so people are talking about it. And then after that, I mean, I'm sure there's like ways of students, I'm not sure if like testifying or amicus brief, I'm not very in tune with the whole legal process, but in any way that we can step up and defend and share our stories and our experiences and why we think diversity on campus is so important and why these claims are false, I think a lot of us will step up to do that.
And just personally, I mean, this is, you've to get to Yale, you obviously had to accomplish more than a few things. And but here you've got an article published in the Washington Post. that is calling attention to something that's very important. I mean, how much satisfaction do you feel at this moment?
No, I feel really good to have this out and to be able to, like, once again, like I said, I feel like I'm able to codify or, like, put into words a lot of what my fellow students are thinking. And by way of the publicity I got from my position, I was able to have it published in such a major publication, which only elevates the prominence of these discussions and can hopefully affirm and bring awareness to why diversity in admissions and race consciousness and all of these other factors to increase equity, increase representation and inclusion on campus are so important. And I think for that, I'm extremely grateful.
Where are we going to see you in 10 years?
That is to be determined. Maybe law school, but I don't think law school takes 10 years out. So I think that far ahead is something hard to plan, especially in this climate for any college student.
Old people like me love to ask unanswerable questions like that. So you handle that beautifully. Khalil Green, first Black student body president in the 319-year history of Yale. Thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you for having me.